Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, we just want to be pleasing in your eyes and do everything you'd have us to do and take preeminence in everything we say and have your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. You may be seated. Let's turn to page 28. Fill my way with love. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to thy land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly God, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Grace will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Every day with love.
Thank the Lord. Page 380. He touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame,
I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. 299. He is here. He is here, hallelujah, he is here, amen, he is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again, he listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same. He is here. Touch him, you will never be the same, for he is here. His name again, he is here. Listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will Jesus. Praise your name. You may be seated. Brother Josh, you want to come to down? Go ahead.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege and an honor, Lord, to be able to relate. Lord, lift our hands, Lord, to sing praises unto thee, Lord, amen, for what you've done for us, oh God. Lord, whether we've had a good day, bad day, whether it's warm or cold, Lord, it's always good to enter in thy temple, Lord, and give you praise, amen, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, we realize how blessed a people we really are, Lord. Lord, if we just really realize, Lord, what you've done for us, how we would lift our hands, and Lord, we would utter praise unto thee, oh God. Lord, we're just such a thankful people, Lord. We just ask you to continue to bless us, Lord. Lord, with thy word and thy presence.
Lord, and bless this offering, Lord, as you have done so many times, Lord. Lord, we ask you to use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, for your glory and your honor. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I sing, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he has it be.
And when I fall to eternity,
his mouth will say he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his mouth will say he is satisfied with me. Amen. Anyone have a request?
Amen.
Brother Lafler, you want to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we come to my Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray tonight, Father, for those who are sick.
Yes.
There's my wife, Brother Bobby, and I don't feel well.
Yes.
Lord, we know, Father, that nothing Brother Grandma can bring you tonight. Please remember, he does nothing but the devil. Lord, I believe that. I believe that within an hour, he's going to do all he can to get the bride to back off. But Lord, that little bride will never back off. Lord, Heavenly Father, she'll be hanging right in there, Lord, till Jesus Christ comes. And I pray, Father, for the word tonight. Lord, that be brought forth to our praise, Lord. Father, it'll come, Lord, in such a way to give us revelation, Lord, of your word. To know, Lord, what we're going to look forward, what we're going to do, Father.
Yes.
Lord, we know, Lord, you are the only one, Lord, that can bring this word, Father. You bring it to your ministry, Father, like the prophet said. It can only come to a man, what God sent it to. So, Father, we're just asking, Lord, to bless each one, Lord. Help us. Forgive us, Father, of our sins. We ask for grace. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Has anyone got a song? Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of the precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. He sought me,
and he loved me,
with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing.
How he
made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with All stand, sing only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Precious Heavenly Father, oh, how wonderful it is again to be here, and Lord, to feel the sweetness of your Holy Spirit. And Father, knowing again tonight we've gathered here to have you, Lord, the author and truly the finisher of our faith, come, Lord, and speak to us through the way of your word. We're asking again now that you would just open our hearts and clear our minds, knowing that the mind is the womb of the soul. And Lord, everything must be cleared out now and empty and open, Lord Jesus, that you could have your preeminence in the way we would think tonight as the word comes forth. For Lord, we know that you will judge us by even our attitude toward the word. So we ask now that you would help us now to receive. And again, that we would give you all the glory and the praise, truly the honor that's due unto you in all things. In your precious, wonderful name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Acts. Are you happy to be here tonight?
Amen.
On a cold, crispy evening? Amen. But it's warm on the inside, not only in the building, but in our hearts. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts, the fifth chapter. And let's read just one verse as you're standing. We'll pick up a few verses here in a little bit. Acts 5 and 32. This is where the high high priest and all the religious Sadducees and everything at that time were giving the apostles a hard time. But listen what they said. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey. And God bless you in his word, and you may be seated. So we find these, as I said, these Pharisees and these, call them bugs, was given these disciples a rough time. And we know that Satan was using these men to come against these apostles and so forth, as Satan always does. But let's just read a little bit more of that now and think about this. But let's go about the 29th verse. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And again, we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now notice, that same Holy Ghost that those apostles were speaking of then, that same Holy Ghost is here tonight.
Amen.
You see? He hasn't changed. It's the same God in spirit form. So we realize that, again, people evidently will act the same way too. Is that right? If the same Holy Ghost is on them, and there will not be a difference in how they act, but they'll act the same way and stand the same way and be as firm in believing the way these men stood and believing. Now, you've got to keep in mind that this is a real circumstance here. This is real men, and that is written about what happened to them. And it was real men that came to them and gave them this hard time because they stood for the Lord Jesus and done these and was doing these mighty things by the moving of the Holy Ghost in their lives. And these men was giving them a rough time, thinking it was Beelzebub, it was the devil. And the same thing they did to Jesus before they hung him on the cross. But still, like I said, just keep in mind it's something real that happened here. You know, and I'm sure probably as far as looking at it a way of flesh, it wouldn't have been easy. You know, we go through different things in life and have maybe some hard trials and tests come along, and may we sometimes have a little problem getting discouraged when really we shouldn't. But we get a little discouraged because maybe it just seems like everything's falling in on us, you know, and people was giving me a rough time and it just ain't right. And then some maybe get the attitude, well, I'll get you back. You just wait. I get the right time. I'll get you back, you know. But that wasn't in these apostles' hearts. It was in their hearts for one thing, and that was to serve God and to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we go on to read this, and of course, again, expressing to the people. Now, as they're expressing to us by it written, that it was the Holy Ghost moving. So it was the Holy Ghost in them that was stirring them to do what they was doing, to stand true to the Word at that time. All right, so he says here, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. In other words, it really crawled under their skin. They were just about to the point, a boiling point, that they couldn't stand this thing. These men, grown men, and standing up for this one called Jesus, that they'd done hung on a cross and killed him. You know, they thought they did. But anyhow, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now, that was some pretty rough feelings to want to slay them, to want to kill them, you know, and just get them out of the road and just dispose of them and just go on as then as they had never been born. See, this was boiling over on the inside of them. They wanted to kill them. Okay? He says, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. At least there was one had a little bit of, just a little bit of common sense, you know. But yet he was known as a great teacher that day, which taught Paul. All right. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. Now they could have just stopped right there, but it didn't. They could have just agreed and then walked off, but they didn't. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, well, this was real, this was reality, they had beat them. You know, imagine how probably would have made them look, you know, maybe kind of small, like little children having to get a whipping, you know. Only this was beating them. Many times it brought blood and welts upon them, and oftentimes bared their skin on their back to do so. But yet they beat them, you know. And thinking about that, I don't think any of us has ever went through that kind of a hardship, you know. We might have had a little pain here and there. We may have went through some trials and tests, and maybe some people talking about us and maybe make us try to feel bad, and maybe people in the job trying to make you feel bad, and just everything comes against you, you know. But there's nobody in here that's been beaten like these men was beat, you see. And beaten them, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. I wonder how many people today, if they had to be beaten because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many would just kind of lay back from then on and not say much about him anymore, because they didn't want to get beat anymore. It hurt too bad. Might have caused some infection on their back after they got beat. They had some hard pain for the next few weeks. And thinking about this every day, in front of all these men, these high, renowned men, placed before them like animals, and beaten. I wonder how many of us would just kind of hold back just a little bit and kind of renounce speaking in the name of Jesus, and his glory and his greatness, his power, and all that he could do, all that he was doing. I wonder if we'd just try to hold back a little bit, kind of just take it easy, you know, and try to just let people just relax a little bit, not think I'm part of this group anymore, but, you know, just kind of forget it a little bit. But these men didn't. These men were more determined and declare the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what they went through. Now, there was something these men had. And earlier in this chapter, in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, it tells us what happened. These men were truly filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came in these men. And these men, their lives changed completely. And it wasn't going back no more to the cowards they once was. It wasn't going back no more to the people of trying to hide from the well-renowned men that would beat them. But it was continuing to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That regardless what their lives what they had to go through. They knew in their life and in their heart they were sent there for the purpose that God could use them. They understood that they was God's representatives at that time and that age. And to slack off, was not a good thing. It showed that something was not there. So there's never no slacking off or slowing down or laying back or just waiting to see if it would chill off, as the old saying is. But it was just something about them on the inside to keep pressing. Keep pressing. Regardless how hard and how hot, how bad the times got. And again, remind you, we may fall up against something. We may fall down. We may stub our toe. We may burn our finger on the stove. We may have something happen in our flesh that hurts for maybe even a couple days. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe any of us has ever experienced being beaten like these men were, not only once, but more than once. We've never been through that. Never. Could you even imagine in your mind how this would feel? And not only the pain for the flesh, but the pain of other people seeing this happen. We think we're grown adults, and we dress proper, and everybody knows us as Christians, and we may have a job, and we have a family, and people, there's people around that like us and everything, and then to have to stand before the public like that and be beaten. What you think about it? But again, these men had something. They had something real. And the Holy Ghost. That was real. Okay? He says, and to them they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. What could a person have that they walked away after being beaten and rejoiced? Has any of us ever been able to do that? A trial? A test? After stubbing our toe? After maybe getting hurt somehow? Maybe somebody call you names? Maybe things just go a little rough that day? I wonder how many of us, because remember now, we're kind of in the same situation. We are witnesses too. And knowing that everywhere we walk, whoever we talk to, wherever places we go, the token is to be on display. And every passerby that passes by must see that witness that Jesus Christ is alive in us. Did they see us when we went through our test and trial? Or maybe somebody cut us off short in the automobile, or maybe about run us off the road, or maybe took our parking place, or some crazy thing going on. Was they able to see us rejoice in our hard times? Think about it. Was they able to see us rejoice? And remember, it still, regardless of what we went through, it wasn't nothing like being beaten in front of the public. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy. They were counted worthy. Now that lets me know right there that they wasn't a bunch of self-righteous people like we've gotten the message today. No. Today we got so self-righteous people in the message today. They think they're so highfalutin and high toot toot toot, that nobody touches them. I'm more important than you, you sinner. No. They was rejoicing that through this circumstance of being embarrassed and beaten, they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus Christ, for his name. rejoiced that they were counted worthy. I don't know about you, saints, but I don't care where we pick up the Word of God. It seems as though we pick up the Word of God, and if we read it with understanding and by the Holy Ghost, I don't care where it is, it seems like there's that place to climb.
Amen.
Climb. Climb. Is people today in this message that has claimed to believe to receive the messenger God sent for the age, Malachi 4, receive that messenger and the message that God sent through that messenger, have the Word of God that has been given so abundantly. I'm talking about as a whole, this whole message believing outfit all over the world. Have we yet come to this place that these people had when they had received the Holy Ghost? And when they received the Holy Ghost, again, let me remind you, if that Holy Ghost is here today, it'll do the same thing. It will not act different. It will not respond different to circumstances. It will respond the same way as it did back then. Because it is the same Holy Ghost. So what does people have today? What does people live with today? What is actually in their lives? Is it just people that intellectually are gaining knowledge? Intellectual knowledge of this and intellectual knowledge of that and intellectual knowledge of the word of this, that, and the other. Is it just people doing that? Or is it people that really has something? Something that these people had. Then when a situation comes up or a circumstance, it responds the same way they did back in the Bible here. Is that what we got? And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's that show me? That was their life. I mean, that's what they lived for. That was everything to them, you see. I thought we'd just go this route a little bit this evening, just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, because I didn't want to really go back into the message which was on Sunday. I'd rather wait till Sunday if the Lord tarries. Again, if it be his will, and I live, if we wouldn't have visitors or something. But if I would stop right there, have you found a place somewhere there that you feel neat in your life?
Amen.
Why is that? I'm going to tell you, you'd better never get to the point that you do not want to eat spiritual food.
Amen.
And every word God has is spiritual food.
Amen.
There isn't a word in there that isn't spiritual. There isn't a word in there that you can receive without the Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, you see, and to bring it to life. It's like this scripture. How many times in that scripture there have we read it, maybe over the years? Maybe mother, dad read it to us as we was a child. Maybe grandpa or grandma did it. Maybe we listened to the preacher, preach and teach on it, or maybe read from it. But yet as we received it at that time, did it really sink deep into our hearts? Was we able by the Holy Ghost to take and let the Holy Ghost take and penetrate it, those words? And let me place it before me. That I stand before the Word of God and measure myself by the Word and not myself. That's why people get self-righteous, because they are measuring themselves by themselves. And they get the thinking in their mind that nobody can touch me. I'm a part of God. Yeah? Well, that's true. But yet what Satan can put in your mind can make you take it in a whole different perspective.
Amen.
And take it in a wrong way. These men, as I said, and read it right to you, these men was rejoicing because it was kind of worthy to be beaten and bear the reproach and shame for the name the Lord Jesus Christ. When it would have been so much easier for the flesh to just stand back and take it easy for a little while and just see what happens. Let me see what my other brothers and sisters go through. See if maybe they have to, if they don't have to go through this, maybe I'm going about this the wrong way, you know. It's maybe I'm approaching this a little bit too strong. So I'll wait and see if Brother Harry over here, what he does. If he don't have to go through this, I must be doing just going a little bit too far overboard, you know. There wasn't none of that going on. It was just a constant compelling of the Holy Ghost to make him move every step. Amen. And proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. But again, what did those people have that maybe people don't have today? Or do I have the same thing? Am I ashamed to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I ashamed to pray in the public? Am I ashamed to stand for what's right when they're doing all this wrong? Am I ashamed to say anything about it? Huh? Because I don't want people to feel bad toward me. All these apostles, friends, once the Holy Ghost came on them, they wasn't ashamed and afraid what somebody's going to think about them. There's only honor and respectful to one thing, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ would think about them and what he would want done in their life, not what the people wanted. No. It's better we serve God than man. Did not I read it to you? But what these things mean to us, you see. I'll read some things here out of the Church Age book. I won't hold you too long tonight. But I'm going to turn here to page 154 here. We'll start here. Thus it is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all coming in at one time, for it is one person comprising the Godhead. That event took place at Pentecost. There aren't two comings of the Spirit, just one. The trouble is that people don't know the real truth, and they simply believe in Jesus for remission of sin, but never go on to receive the Spirit. I'm reading another quote with something like that here not too long ago. Brother Branham said very few would go on to receiving the Holy Spirit. Many will go as far as even sanctification. Clean their life up. Start trying to live right. Try to do what's good, you know. Because they have the knowledge of the Word, so it ain't no problem knowing what it is. But, you know, there's something, you know, is compelling them on the inside yet to try to do better because they've entered in sanctification of it. But they don't go on to receive in the Spirit. And I wonder if sometimes that's why we don't act the way they did then. He says, before I close this subject, I know there is a question in your minds. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp, the eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's a hard one for people in the message to swallow. Because they think God loves everybody. God don't love everybody. No. They don't understand the word when they say that. See? Romans 9:13. And neither was born, and neither had done good or evil. So it wasn't nothing to do with what they did in life. But their actions, what so-and-so done better than the other, no, had nothing to do with it. It's what God already seen in his mind. Amen. See, it was the thought. And then that thought became expressed. And God bought back Jacob, because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. I remember Jacob was the shyster. Is that right?
Amen.
Jacob was the shyster. He was the ornery fellow, you know? He was the problem child. Yeah. But God seen in his mind, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. I believe God done that for a purpose.
Amen.
I really do. Because everything he does with purpose.
Amen.
You see. That is why he had respect to the birthright. Jacob, the shyster,
ornery character. The one was a bad boy. Had respect to the birthright. And covenant of God. The good boy didn't. The bad boy did. Okay. If you are true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body. The body of Christ. Filling you and empowering you. And you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you? When the word is revealed to you? And saints, whether you realize it or not, there is so many people in this message that's struggling every day to try to understand it. And yet they're following it. They're going to the message churches. They're listening to pastors preaching some of the messages. And they still struggle with it. They just can't understand a lot of things. They just can't figure it out. Why is this? And why is that? And how come this? And how come that? You know? Again, note, Jesus was the royal seed. He lived in a human body. And when the Spirit called to him, the word manifested thought, he went to Jordan and was there baptized in water upon obeying the word. That's what always comes out of the true seed. Obeys the word. The Holy Spirit came upon him and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." The voice did not say, "This has become my Son." Jesus was the Son. The Holy Ghost positioned him as that Son before them all. Then having been filled, and the same pattern holds. Well, the same pattern holds for when? When's the same pattern hold that held for Jesus or worked for Jesus? The same pattern holds at Pentecost. And ever after.
Amen.
Okay? He went in and demonstrated power. What's power? Authority. Receiving the full revelation. Wow. Receiving the full revelation of God and from God. For that day. Now, we have been constantly saying, and I have too. I've constantly repeated it, what that prophet said. And we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. Let me show you most clearly. The seven ages, as set forth in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, take in the whole span of the fullness of the Gentiles, or the whole time in which God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation. In every single age, bar none. It says the very same thing in the opening and closing, the message to each age. Unto the messenger of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamus, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, write these things, saith he. He that hath an ear. He that hath an ear. Some don't have ears. They might have these sticking out on their head. But that's not what he's talking about. He that hath an ear, let him, singular, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Okay? Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age, addresses himself to only one person relative to the word for that age. Only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age. And that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. Yeah. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, both true and false. So when that messenger spoke, he spoke both to the true and false ones. See, it wasn't just to the true, but he spoke to the true and the false. And it still continues on. Amen. It still speaks to the true and the false. The message is then broadcast to all. Okay? But though it is broadcasted for all who come within range of the message, look at all of them that's coming in range of the message in this day we live in. See? That message is received individually. Only by only a certain qualified group. Yeah. Rest of them don't get it, see. In a certain way. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by the way of the messenger. So not everybody can pick up these messages or the scripture as far as that goes and listen to it or have it preached to them, taught to them, whatever, and really know what it says. Just like I just got done reading the book of Acts in the 5th chapter. Not everybody really can grasp what happened there. What that Holy Ghost really does in a man's life or a woman's life. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. And to think in the past, these preachers, and some still in this age or this time we live, you know, they've even mentioned, I've got the ball, you know, and you're trying to take the ball away from the ones carrying the ball. No. The message was way before us piddly preachers come along. The message came when that prophet came and God spoke to that messenger. Amen. That's the message. Not us piddly preachers today. No. No, we just repeat what that messenger said. And you get a preacher comes along and thinks he's got the ball and going to take everybody in. Look out, friends. You got a wrong attitude. Amen. The message already came. You see. Now think, it is not strange that this is the case, for Paul set the pattern under the hand of God. Paul alone had the full revelation for his day as evidence by his confrontation of the other apostles, who admitted that Paul was the prophet messenger to the Gentiles for that day. Same thing it is for this day. The prophet William Mary Branham had the full revelation this end time day which we live. And now us other ministers pick it up and carry it on. Not changing anything. Amen. If they change it, they're false anointed ones. That's all there is to it. There's no ifs, ands, maybes, and probablys. No, they're false anointed ones. See? And also note by actual illustration in the Word that when Paul desired to go to Asia, God forbade him. For the sheep, his children, were in Macedonia, and they, the Macedonians, would hear what the Spirit had to say through Paul, while the people in Asia would not. Okay? In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. What? Something's going on here. It's going to be everything to them, and some's going to hear it, and it ain't going to be, because it just doesn't mean anything to them. It's just another preacher. Oh, maybe some enticing, wonderful things they see happen, but it's not real to them. Amen. That is why the light comes through the sun, that's why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others. So it ain't their new message. So many want to claim today. They've got the certain revelation. And I'm a preacher on this revelation. No, it's already there, friends. You see? He says, spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. How true it is. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, or they take away there. And soon The message is no longer pure. Look what we're seeing today.
Amen.
Oh my. And the revival dies down. No wonder. They need special instruments to get them beat up and get their feet tapping and getting happy so they can look like they got a little bit of something. How careful we must be to hear one voice. Now, if you got the Holy Ghost, that's what will happen. You'll be able to hear that one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. And Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he'd been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers and then say what has been given to them to say to the churches. He said, if you are true seed, if you are truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will esteem his word above your necessary meat. Wow. That sounds like what I read in the book of Acts. Yeah. The word of God was it to them. The most important to them. Yeah. He says, and yearn to live and yearn. I'm sure we know what yearn is. That's a strong, deep desire. And yearn to live by every word. Can we measure up to that? Do we yearn? Do we have a strong, deep desire to live by every word? Or is it, that's the word, I better try to do that. That's not a deep desire. That is intellectual knowledge. You know the word says do this, and you know if you don't do it, you're going to hell, so I better try to do it. And then we try to do it. And we try to do it, and that's about all it gets done. We try to do it. We try to do it. But when it becomes a strong, deep desire, it's there confronting you every moment of your life, and it's to live by every word. There's something about it. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. There's a drive on the inside. It's got to be like that. Live by every word. This is my desire, Lord. This is my love. This is my everything. To live by every word. Right? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is my earnest prayer for all of us. May we hear what the Spirit is bringing from the word for us today. Oh, what? Live by every word. You say, well, Brother Steve, I'm not going to live by every word. It's just impossible. We just might as well forget it. Let me read you something again over here, what the prophet said, if I can find it here real quick. He says here, this is on page 107. Let me start down at the bottom. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. I'll try to close here real quickly. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a thrilling thought this is. Oh my. That tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which could not be approached unto because of the fall of Adam, is now given to the overcomer. The flaming sword of the guarding cherubim has been sheathed, but it was not sheathed ere its blade was bloody with the blood of the Lamb. Let us meditate upon this truth a while as we consider why the tree was denied to Adam and his descendants, but now allowed again. Okay, once denied, his descendants, Adam and Eve, and his descendants, but now allowed again. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. You believe that? That's what this is all about. To express God's words. So it's all it's for. Express God's word. See? In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by. A life lived by the word would be the word expressed. So we understand. He's telling us, if we want to know what the word expressed is, it's living the word. If it's not lived, it's not expressed. Okay? But it was, remember, it was God's intention to have man to express his word. Okay? That is true, is it not? But did Adam live by that word? I want you to have your thinking caps on for a moment. Did Adam live by that word? Nope. No, because he was to live by every word Adam was given to live by. And he failed to take heed to every word. Well, remember, Adam didn't go out and start doing all kinds of corrupted things and everything. Just one word. He listened to his wife after she'd listened to Satan, and he fell for it. And they'd done something God told them not to do. One word. Then there rose Moses. What a great and mighty man he was. Yet he also failed. Amen. He failed to live by every word. Think of that. Mm-hmm. And that prophet, the type of the great prophet to come, failed in anger to obey the word. Think of that. And there was also David, the great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. And he failed by adultery. When he was tempted. But eventually, in the fullness of time, there came one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted. Wasn't he tempted? Go to Luke 4 and read it. Who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word. I'd be all right if we could stop right there. We might still feel pretty good about ourselves. You know, we're pretty good people, you know. We live pretty decent lives and everything, you know. But that isn't where it stopped. He would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then was Satan foiled. For he was one who lived by, it is written. And that masterpiece of God overcome by reflecting God's word. Then was this manifested perfect one given to the cross on the day of Pentecost when they begin to receive what? What did they receive? The Holy Ghost. Which was what? God's Spirit. The same Spirit, right? Amen. Same Spirit was in Christ. Right?
Amen.
Okay, that's what I thought. Was given to the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice. And on the tree, he received the wounds unto death. That we, by him, and because of him, might eat of the tree of life. Wow. And then that life freely given, would enable us and express the word of God. Remember? A word lived by is the word expressed. Mm-hmm. You know what he said?
Amen.
Oh, how we should yearn to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. By having the same Holy Ghost that those men had on the day of Pentecost. Not a different one, but the same one. And now to these sons of God, who by him overcome, are given the privilege of the paradise of God. Mm-hmm. And the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. Won't you sisters come up, please, the instruments. There will never, never more be any separation from him. Wow. Whether he goes, his bride will go. What is his? What is his? I want you to remember what we was preaching on Sunday. What is his? He shares with his beloved bride on joint heir relationship. Wow. All things are possible to them that believe. The secret things will be revealed. To who? The bride. The dark things will be made plain. We shall know as we are known. Wow, that's known. And we shall be like him. Wow. This is the heritage of the overcomer, who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony to Jesus Christ. How we long for that day when the crooked roads will all be straightened and we will be with him in time without end. May that day hasten its appearance, and may we hasten to obey his word and thereby prove our worthiness to share his glory. Wow. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How tragic it is that this first age did not listen to the Spirit. Instead, it listened to man. But thank God, in the last age, there will be a group rise up. The true bride of the last day. And she will listen to the Spirit. In that day of gross darkness, the light will return by the pure word. See why God wants it pure? Kept pure. And we will return Pentecost to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Powerful. Words of power. Words of greatness. Words of inspiration. Words of revelation. Oh God. Can we hear what the Spirit says? Oh, God, help me. Help me to find myself there, Lord.
Amen.
In these scriptures also.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That every word, help me, Lord, to express what these apostles had when they received the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Do you love the word?
Amen.
I love the word. Nothing better like talking about than the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank Him for His mercy and grace. Let's all stand. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Let's sing this little chorus, Down from His Glory Again, page 188. Amen. I love this song. Down from His glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was. Yes, hallelujah. In a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing it to Him. The great creator.
condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope,
hallelujah,
O God, God gracious, all think about me, hallelujah, lay aside your splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul,
hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for your word. It's so precious. Lord, it's hard to express oftentimes how precious it is to us. Lord, you know what we feel inside. You know how it just makes us feel to even hear your word, Lord, to hear your greatness, and Lord, examine your great plan. Salvation and mercy and grace. And Lord, examine what you have for a people to express. And by faith, be able to understand it. Oh God, I thank you so much, Lord. Lord, it's been already said. I thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed unto babes that you would learn. Oh God, unless we come as little, become as little children, Lord, and listen. And Father, little children are just so anxious to learn when they're growing up and they're just young and tender. And they want to know what everything is. They want to know how it works. They want to know why it is. And Lord, are so attentive when the parent sits down and explains things. Maybe granddad sits down and talks to his little grandson and begins to explain things. Maybe a blade of corn on a stalk came out. Maybe a little bug was crawling on the ground and what it does and what its job is. And are just listening so attentively, so anxiously waiting for what it is. Lord, I hope we can be as little children and be the same. For blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You promised it, Lord. Help us to stay hungry, Lord. Help us to stay thirsty. The Lord Jesus will thirst. Oh God, after righteousness. We'll be so hungry, Lord, to know what would be more pleasing to you, and how to be closer to you, and how to get ourselves out of the way to let you live. All these things, Lord, may we be so hungry and anxious to hear and just take it all in, Lord, with all that's in us. Grant it, Lord. Go with us now. Again, Lord, we just ask, keep us safe. Keep us in thy precious will above everything. And if you do tarry, Lord, till Sunday, I don't know if you will, but Lord, if you do, help us to come in hungry, Lord. Open hearts and minds cleared. Laid aside all the cares of life, seeking first the kingdom. Lord Jesus, have your way now in our lives. And thank you again for this privilege of letting us be here tonight. We're so thankful for it. Bless those that couldn't be here. May you make the way, Lord. Touch the sick and afflicted. God, may they know that you're truly alive. Give them faith, Lord. Give them faith, Lord, oh God. Father, they'd stand on the promises you've given them. We ask it in a name. It's the only wonderful name I know. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. How I love you, how I adore you, Lord. Truly, you're my breath and my sunshine. Oh, God, I love you. Go with us now in your holy name, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sing out the chorus one more time before we leave. Amen. Oh, God bless you.